and join the Microsoft Teams meeting, select join on the web instead. So the general public may not attend this meeting at the district offices, since the district offices are closed and are not available due to social distancing requirements and stay in shelter requirements. Prior to the board discussion, the board president will ask for comments from the public on each item. Please feel free to email pcuadras@hvlcsd.org and provide your comments. And there's also a chat feature that we might be able to see as well. And please provide your written comments to the board secretary prior to 4 p.m. the previous evening. And we will be monitoring that. Also, just a few little protocol items. Generally, there's a little delay, so please make sure that the previous speaker has completed their talking before you speak. It's also beneficial at times for those that are listening or watching to push the icon that mutes your microphone. And with that, I will turn it over to you, Mr. Vice President Lieberman, to start the meeting and call it to order.
Thank you, Paul. We'll call the meeting to order of the Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District Regular Board Special Meeting. This is Thursday, May 14th, 2020 at 11.05 a.m. We'll have a Pledge of Allegiance. If you please stand, please, for the Pledge of Allegiance. Our Pledge of Allegiance. Secretary, please call the roll.
Director Graves?
Here, present.
Director Graham?
Present.
Director Lieberman?
Here.
Director Freeman? Let the record show that Director Freeman is absent. Let the record show that Mr. Paul Kelly, Interim General Manager, is present.
Director Freeman may be having a technical. He's back now. You might ask for him now. We were doing a roll call, Jim, and we didn't see your icon, but it looks like it's up now. So you're here. You are present.
Looks like he's muted.
Yeah, he's muted.
Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda for the Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District special meeting on May 14, 2020, as written.
Is there a second?
I second.
The agenda has been moved by Director Graves, has been seconded by Director Graham. So it's approved. We'll move on to item five, discussion and possible action. This is to discuss the vacant board seat. So, do you want to take that one, Paul, or I can talk about that? Either one of us. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, let me just kind of provide a brief report and update, and then you can feel free to take it from there. And obviously, Penny is available since she's also been spearheading the posting and requests for applications on this particular item. But I really, as you know, the board approved the recruitment and the opening of the vacant board seat inviting people to apply and provide their information, since the board will be reviewing and eventually selecting. And you can see on the screen that there's been posting at the Record B, et cetera. And I believe that the final is 5, or everything's due by 5 p.m. on the 18th, which is on Monday. And then the board will need to review those and make a decision. But I did want to just mention again verbally something that we've already sent out to you via email and other communications, that we have heard from the county elections department that there are that the coming election in November will be very busy for Hidden Valley Lake Community Services District board members, since, as you are aware, three of you are completing 4 years of your term, and there are three seats based on four-year terms that are up for re-election in November, and that according to election rules, if the appointment or the vacancy of a position or a seat happens prior to the halfway point of that seat's service, so in other words, Director Graves' seat currently and this current vacant seat, then it is required that they are also going to be put on the ballot for the coming November election, and that they would be to get elected to serve the 2 years, the final 2 years of that two-year seat. And then, of course, in 2 years, they would be up for election for it to be a four-year seat. So we've been informed by the elections department that this coming November, there will be an election for the four-year seats, and there will be an election for the two-year seats. So in this case, you might recall, for a lot of ballot items, there's, you know, vote for no more than three or those types of things. So for the four-year seats, there are three seats, and those will be up for election. So depending on how many people run for them, they, you will be able to vote for up to three for the four-year seats. And then for the two-year seats, you'll be asked, the voters will be asked to vote for no more than two people running for the two-year seats. That also means that anybody could run for any of those seats, obviously. Obviously, if you are you could run for a four-year seat or you could run for a two-year seat. It'd just be a slightly different. So with that, I know that that was a little off of the vacant board seat item, but I just wanted to make sure while we had all of you on the line, just a reminder of the process. And again, for this particular vacant board seat, once you've selected someone to sit in that seat and swear them in, they would then serve until the election, and then they would also need to run for the seat to get elected to it. With that, Vice President Lieberman, I hope that helps to kind of open it up for the discussion.
Well, I had a question on the upcoming, on the one that's going to, the vacant seat that's going to, the cutoff for the 18th, for that one.
Yes.
So in the past, I believe that we had a requirement of someone applying that they had to fill out an application and attach a resume. I don't know if that's no longer, I didn't see that in the ad about the resume as a necessity. In fact, I think the last time we had some people, one of them was almost not accepted because he didn't attach a resume. And then we got a resume at the last minute.
Benny, are you
Yes, this is the same exact notice that was posted for the previous vacancy. When I spoke with the applicant, I did let him know that there must be a resume attached. I can reach out to him and ask him to supply one if you would like.
Okay, so as of now, we have one applicant, it looks like?
Yes, and that went to all board members at your request.
I appreciate that too. But this one also has not yet submitted a resume, is that right?
Just the application, I believe, that was sent to you.
Just the application.
That is correct.
But it's I read through the advertisement, it doesn't look like it's absolutely a requirement or necessary. Unless I've read the advertisement incorrectly.
Would you like that to be ran again with that noticed as a requirement?
I probably have that. So we're probably okay then. I see this applicant looks pretty well qualified. So I guess he is a general manager for a petroleum company, Westgate Petroleum in Lakeport, which is actually a huge gas station and convenience store on the right hand side as you're about to enter into Lakeport.
Oh, okay. I know where that is.
Yeah. They also have some things to do with water. I know they have two major connections. I don't know how many smaller. It's a community of 200 or so up in that area, the inn that he's in. You know, I read something from, they had a little run-in with not doing proper retesting after, wasn't E. coli, it was coliform that was found in their water. And they provide it for a couple of people, or for a few, I don't know how many connections exactly, through Westgate Petroleum and Lakeport. And they didn't do enough follow-up for, I think you have to check it four times or something like that. I'm not sure of all the regulations, but they didn't comply. So Sherry Miller got in touch with this particular applicant, and they were cited for that. It's not a big thing. I just bring it up to let you know that he also has some background with State Department of Water Resources and knows something about E. coli and coliform and all of that in the water. So just to give you a little background there. That's all they had on that. I just wanted to bring it up so that the directors know.
And then, did you want some more comments about the applicant, Bud Brown? I know him. I've known him for a few years. In fact, when he saw the notice that the position was open, he contacted me, had some questions. We talked about it for a while. I encouraged him to apply. If you look at the notes in his application, you see that and where I know him from is primarily the math group, the Middletown Area Town Hall, which he's been involved with for many, many years, and is a very community-minded individual.
Thank you, Gary. Yeah, I think he's a very qualified individual. I just did a little look at who Westgate Petroleum was. I was curious and wanted to pass what I found out on to the board. Also, the stating of interest, the last sentence, I couldn't quite understand or read that. He's talking about the neighborhood where he's resided. There's been three line breaks. Is that what the reading is?
Yes.
In the past 2 years?
Correct.
Oh, okay. I was having a little trouble deciphering that, so thank you for that.
Jim, he did mention that to me. In fact, the day he called, he said there was another problem. I thought it was related to the issue with the Mountain Meadow North water main, but I'm not sure if that's the case.
Okay. So we're going to have the cutoff on the 18th, and at that time, If we have interviews, if we have more than one, I suppose we should interview even with one.
Yeah.
I'd say yes.
Mr. Vice President, I think regardless of getting any more applicants, and actually, in my opinion, regardless of getting a resume, I hope that this person does submit one. You should interview them, and you should have at least an opportunity to get some clarifications on some of the stuff that they put on their application, as well as just interacting with them and probing their interest and all the rest. So it does appear like you have a good qualified candidate, but it would be nice to, you know, not have any more, too much more conversation about that until you've closed the open application period and then get a chance to sit down and talk to them.
Okay, that's what we will do. Thank you.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Carol.
Was the applicant informed of the fact that if he was appointed, that he would need to run again in November?
Penny?
You know, I don't recall for sure if I did inform him of that. But I can reach
just
out to
him. Just curious, because you know, for some people, they may not, I don't know. I think that can be, I guess, handled in an interview situation. But I think that if anybody else does step forward, that they should be made aware that this is sort of a temporary seat until November.
Exactly. Some people may want to just wait till November to run to get a 4-year term.
Right, because you have to file, I think, in August?
Right.
We have to file by August.
Right.
I don't have it in front of me, but I did know it was August. I'm not sure of the date, but the actual date. You know, so, you know, but on the flip side, for anybody that's applying, we can say, well, you know, it gives them a good chance to look at the district and look at what they'll be doing on the board for a few months before they decide whether they want to run for an additional term.
Yeah, and I think that's the value. You know, again, just my opinion. I do think that in the interview time, it would be a good time to inform all the applicants that of the registrar's requirements that seat be up for election in November. I would hope that if they were informed prior to the application that wouldn't prevent them from applying, because I think there is a real opportunity to find out what's going on prior to actually having to run. And then finally, I would mention, I believe the date by the registrar is probably going to be August 7th, I think is the end of the filing date. But again, I think all of you are correct. I would just mention that I think there's great. Just one other quick thing. There is a time frame related to appointing to an empty seat. If the board does not appoint anyone to the seat and it's empty, there is a window in which the county could actually appoint somebody to the board. Of course, that appointment would have to run for re-election or run in the November as well. So that's why I think it's important to go through this process and try to get somebody on.
Right, exactly. So we will. Are there any other comments on item 5? There's no action, so we can. If not, we'll move on to item 6. Were there any other comments, Director? We'll move on to item 6, discussion of possible action, discuss the GM recruitment. I'll ask Paul if he's had an update from Robert DeLoach.
Yeah, thank you, Vice President Lieberman. From what I have gathered from, I got a note from Robert DeLoach, and Benny might actually have talked to him more recently, but the brochure is pretty much about complete based on the discussion with the personnel committee last Thursday. The only thing is just making sure the job description is correct and right. He had informed me that based on the personnel committee's direction to work with the vice president on sort of finalizing that and reviewing that. So he will be reaching out to you, if not today, probably maybe even tomorrow. And so he's also is waiting, though, to hear if, and I think we might want to have a little discussion about what the board might consider or be thinking as it relates to a potential interim general manager between now and when the new general manager is brought on, or if there's maybe some thoughts about not having an interim general manager. But I'd kind of like to have a little bit of that conversation. But that's my update related to the recruitment.
Well, Paul, does Deloach Associates, do they have anybody in their queue that they're looking at the time?
For the GM position?
Correct.
Obviously, there's confidentiality stuff here, but I have asked Robert Deloach, do you have a list of candidates? And he has assured me that even prior to the personnel committee, that they have reached out to multiple candidates, and he has a current list. I'd hate to put a number on it, but it's probably less than 10. But he does have a list of people that he knows will apply, that they would actually directly recruit. I've given him a few people that he might consider calling, and he will as soon as it's put out for publication.
Right, and I understand with the confidentiality. I wasn't trying to get people. Just I wondered if there were a few people that we know might be interested. That would make a difference on whether we're looking for an interim or whether we can possibly quickly find a GM, which, from my point of view, only mine, not the full board, would be more preferable.
Yeah, and again, I'd love to hear some of the thoughts from the board. But as to that, that is one of the reasons I asked Mr. Deloach to make sure that he contacts you soon, because of getting the report out, so he can actually give you a more definitive number of people that are interested. The other thing is, it does, you know, and obviously this decision could actually be made by the board on next Tuesday if need be, but I think if there is a belief, and if Mr. Deloach can report it, that he feels that they will have a good candidate pool fairly quickly, and that you could potentially have a short, let's just say 30 days, time in which you would be able to bring in a permanent, that I think you could actually, the district can successfully operate without an interim general manager, knowing that it's short term, and a couple of reasons. I think a lot of very challenging decisions related to COVID-19, related to sort of procedures that we've had internally here, have been handled by the board and me over the last month. That we've, you know, there's projects have gotten done. We've gotten the moratorium is sort of waiting to be lifted, but I've given direction on things that I think may happen in the next 30 days, like if the stay in shelter is lifted, how we should as a district handle that. So we've created some protocols related to the opening of the front doors and all that rest of that stuff. And if the moratorium gets lifted in the next 30 days, you know, sort of protocols on how we're going to handle that. And obviously at the next week's Tuesday night meeting, you'll see there's a few other actions that I think will handle it. So I think there's a way, if you feel assured when you talk to Mr. DeLoach that, you know, you're going to have a shortened time frame to bring in a permanent GM, I think you could potentially do well without one. The other thing I would just remind you to the board that the personnel committee had reviewed the job class and study, and that the board was interested in modifying the current operations supervisor to be operations manager and to be available for when the GM wasn't here. And so you might actually, you know, if, especially if it's only going to be for 3 or 4 weeks, be able to have the operations manager maybe give about, you know, be available a couple of days a week to also handle some of those GM decisions if, as need be. So those are just some thoughts and options. I'm sorry to take a lot of time on it, but I've given it a little thought, and that's my initial thought.
And this is Gary. If I could make a couple of comments, I agree with Jim that, you know, if we could find a good permanent manager in short order, it would be best if we could avoid the interim general manager. But of course, that will depend on the applicants. We want to make sure we get a good applicant going forward. Secondly, I like your idea, Paul, about possibly having Dennis as the, we talked about making him the assistant general manager going forward. Maybe we can get on a temporary basis now, you know, to fill in until we get somebody permanent, you know, on board.
So it sounds like there's sort of a plan A and a plan B. I don't know how full Dennis's plate is right now, but I'm wondering if he would be able, if he has the capacity to take on that role in addition to his already, I think, fairly large bandwidth.
Right, and I didn't, you know, I haven't really, other than talking to Dennis about the, you know, the future arrangement of his department, creating, you know, two co-leads, and obviously the recommendation to have the change of his title to operations manager for the purposes, at least one purpose, to be available. And obviously the thought was that it would be, you know, if the general manager's traveling or sick or gone for the day, then you would have somebody there to handle it. But I haven't really talked to him about, well, how about for the next month while I'm gone, until a permanent is in. But I'm willing to do that. Obviously, this is something we probably, you know, you don't have to decide on really until the next meeting on Tuesday. But also by Tuesday, you should, the Vice President Lieberman should have an update from the Robert DeLoach, just given some assurance on what your plan A and plan B should be.
I understand Carolyn's concern, obviously. One thing that I think where it would be very helpful is just communication between the board and the staff.
I don't know if you guys can hear me, but I would agree with that. I think it'll work for a short time. Yes, I'm in favor of getting a full-time GM in here as soon as we can.
Thanks, Director Freeman. We did hear you.
Good.
Although your picture's a little fuzzy, but it's better than mine. I have none at all.
Yeah, it's not working well. It took me about 20 minutes to get in here. I just caught the tail end of the vacant board seat discussion. Okay. All right, let's move on.
All right, is there any other discussion on the GM recruitment from the board? not, we're going to move on to item 7, discussion and possible action, discuss the possibilities of a consultant for water resources specialist position. And this, just to give you a little intro to it, and then we'll go to Paul. Gary and I, Director Graves and myself, went out this Monday just to have a hello and how are you doing type meeting. Not really anything in particular, just wanted to check on the guys and see how the plant's going out there, reclamation. So we did that, and in speaking to staff, the idea was brought up about the possibilities of a consultant. We know Alyssa's leaving, what is it, first week of July, I believe. And Dennis brought it to our attention, Gary and myself, that it would be a good idea to do something like this. So I thought, well, I think that idea has some merit. So I asked that it be put on the agenda. And little did I know, there's been apparently a lot of thought that's gone into it. And it was already, in fact, a proposal that you see before you today. So I just wanted you to know how we heard about it and leading up to what we have today. So, Paul, I'll let you jump in.
Okay, thank you. Well, I appreciate the background. I do remember hearing a long time ago, maybe when I first started here, that there had been thoughts about potentially having Alyssa be available via contract, or even potentially to help transition the new person into it. I think the board knows how I feel about the water resources specialist position. It's so critical that I believe that it was a proper move to go out for an open recruitment for this position. And I do think there's some real opportunities to use the current person as a way to help transition that. And obviously, would look to Alyssa to at least explain a little bit about what these proposals are and be available for your questions. But I do need to just, since this is the first time I've actually kind of, I didn't see this until Tuesday and then today. So I do need to just give the board a little caution maybe, and to handle this very carefully. It's my understanding from the notice letter that the water resource specialist provided that they plan to leave at the end of June and then use some of their built-up vacation time, sick time, or whatever, and officially retire in July. And I think, which is all reasonable and clearly works well. I'm not an expert on CalPERS. But I am familiar that most districts, including CalPERS, have things like cooling off periods. In other words, once there is a requirement, expiration, or a leaving of position, there's a period of time. Sometimes it's 3 months, sometimes it's 6 months, sometimes it's a year before the person that retires can actually have a contract to provide work back to the district in which they retired from. So I think, before we do anything, we probably should make sure that that's even available. There's also some rules with CalPERS and others related to independent contractors that are doing actual jobs of an employee. In other words, if their consulting contract is doing basically the predominance of a job description for a full-time employment position, that actually violates some sort of rules, both Employment Development Department as well as with CalPERS. And I can only just relate to you my own personal experience as executive director of multiple associations. One of the associations I worked for, they came in and said, this person is your executive director. They have command and control, and they do all the elements of this job class. So therefore, they should be an employee of the association. And so I actually had to incorporate myself, which is why I'm able to provide interim general manager services to you under the guise of Paul Kelly Consulting Incorporated. So I think just a little hesitation to make sure that that's true. I do think there's some value in having the current water resource specialist provide a transition. But then the other thing I would just say is, you know, we've already have a consultant out recruiting for this position, and I think not doing that, to have somebody here in the office, may not be in the best interest of the district. And then I would also say that the back to just making sure that we're not making any mistakes on contracts with employees that have retired. You know, it both protects the district. We don't want to lose our contract with PERS, and it also protects the independent contractor, because there is some rules that say if you've been getting paid and it wasn't super right, then you have to actually return that to the district and to CalPERS. And so I don't know. I think there's some real validity to potentially having from Alyssa in this particular case. I just not having all the information. I'm just really speaking more from my own little experience. Just, you know, there needs to be some caution before action is taken.
Well, I do appreciate your thought, Paul. We definitely need to make sure everything is in alignment with the. All the legalities and regulations that we have to follow through. So I appreciate your thoughts on that. Maybe we can find out. I don't know. Who would we seek for all the advice on that? Would our HR attorney do that?
One thing I would ask you for, and again, I don't want to dominate this, because I think, you know, you might, I think Alyssa should speak to kind of what she's thinking. And I like her really cool APG services item here, which is awesome. But I think once we've talked a little bit about that, I think you just need to give direction to me and to Penny to follow up and look into this and find out what we need to know, number one. And number two, we may well have to go to the HR attorney, but before we spend money on that, let's make sure we have all the information we can get. So that would be...
And based on the information you gave us about vacation time and so on and so forth, do we know Alyssa can answer that and tell us actually her last physical day? Because I believe the contract she had in mind was going to start, what was it, August 1st, I believe?
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Awesome. Yes. Yep, so I've accrued some vacation time that I've elected to take. So my last working day will be the 12th of June. It's less than a month away. My official retirement date still remains at July 8th, which is a Wednesday. I'm sorry, were there other questions?
Well, I guess you're starting to date as being a consultant. Was that right? Was it August 1st?
Yeah, it was August 1st. I figured just
get
on a personal...
Get relocated and resettled?
Pretty much. On a personal perspective, I expect to be self-quarantined once we get off the airplane. And, you know, there's a certain amount of unpacking and settling to do during that time.
Right. Okay, that was my question. Directors, do you have any questions? that you'd like to go over at this time?
I'd like to hear from Melissa a little bit more about her proposal, and then I do have some questions, but I'd like to hear from Melissa first.
Okay. I'd be happy to entertain any specific questions, but I tried to lay out in the executive summary that turned out being longer than a page, the duties of the water resource specialist as they have evolved over the years. There's a fair amount of things that need to be done on a regular basis, that being monthly, quarterly, and annual. And of course, the as needed or daily tasks continue. Specifically, I can tell you that we are unofficially, don't quote me, very close to the Unit 9 tank project being approved. There is work that continues to be done on that front, and once that project does get approved, there is going to be some effort needed to do the grant management part of it, grant administration. The reason I say that is because I have heard from the IRWM Prop 1 program that has approved us for the half of the match for that project, and I have heard from the FEMA folks for the LHMP that they have received that plan, are reviewing it now, and if recent history is any judge, FEMA has been turning around their approvals on the LHMP within a matter of days. Wow. So that was the only thing on the federal side, having that LHMP approved, that was holding up the Unit 9 tank project. So it's a big project. It's a lot of administrative work. I'm not sure if there were specific questions in terms of what I would be doing or how I would be doing it.
If I could make a comment, Paul and your staff, you're going to be to the legalities of possible hiring Alyssa as a consultant. You mentioned that there may be a problem if she's doing a whole job. You know, if there is an issue there, would it be possible to hire her as a consultant for just this project?
Well, again, that's, I think, part of what we need to look into. My experience would tell me initially that a focused scope of the consulting contract on different components, like this one, obviously we could pluck out a few others, that would be probably a safer route to contracting for help in this arena, than contracting for, you know, a scope of work that is basically a replication of the water resources specialist position. And so I think that is safer. We still would need to find out what kind of timing elements might be involved with that. And obviously, I really believe that there's an opportunity once we have the new water resource specialist position person in place to have a contract with somebody who has all this experience to help with that. So there's ways in which I think it'd be done. It's not as simple as a to do the position, especially while we're recruiting for a replacement.
Right.
And it's not as simple as it relates to both retirement and employment rules for districts. I'm sorry for the long-winded answer, but that's kind of the way I think. But we need to get all that confirmed, obviously.
Yes.
Melissa, were you thinking of this as a consultant, just part-time, and then you'd have other clients as well?
No, I'm just No, I'm just opening this up for you guys. But I did want to offer some feedback on the CalPERS side, if I may. So I have been reaching out to the CalPERS support folks, and there's a thing called a retired annuitant that has a lot of regulations and expectations around it. And I believe perhaps maybe, Paul, that's what you're looking at when you're talking about a cooling off period. And certainly we would not want to lose your contract with PERS. But what the retired annuitant prized of is typically 180 days after the retirement, the retired annuitant can go back and work for the company for no more than 20 hours per week or you know, half of a year. I think that's 960 hours in a 12-month period. Unless the board of directors signs a resolution that there is an urgent need, and in that case, the retired annuitant can start 60 days. As soon as 60 days from the retirement date. In looking over these rules and regulations, I thought it didn't really make sense, knowing how much work is out there that continues to, you know, a lot of these requirements need care and feeding on a daily basis. That is why I opted not to propose the retired annuitant support for the district and instead go to an independent contract position. You bring up a good point, Paul, about the EDD ramifications, and I can certainly look into that because I do not know the answer to that. Right. But in just anecdotally reaching out to colleagues, this has been the preferred method of continuing to support an agency after you've retired.
So, but it is still your plan to retire as of that July date, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And yes, and I am aware, and that's, and again, I'm not aware of the real particulars, but that the annuitant item is definitely of issue and concern. And again, I'm not sure if the independent contractor item waives the annuitant requirements. So again, we just need to kind of make sure that we're not doing things that messes either you and your retirement up or our you know, the district's issues. So, again, I think to the board, obviously figuring out how this would work would be good. I do believe that it needs to be a focused scope. I would also just mention that the 960 hours is actually less than 6 months or 20 hours a week. It's 2080 is full time, and obviously 1040 would be half time. So one of the reasons for the annuitant rules to be 960 is to make sure you don't even get close to the half time. And also, I think we kind of need to figure out how this would interact with the full time water resource specialist when they brought on. I also think that it could very well be a great way to use, you know, if we don't go with the Sparkies next year, some of those resources for a contract with Alyssa could very well be a good use of resources. So, again, good to have the conversation because we kind of need to make sure we're not missing any I's and missing any T's being crossed.
Okay, let me just, if I can, throw something out there. I don't know what the timing would be on the approval of these projects. Again, let me just throw this out there. Would it be possible, Alyssa, for you to postpone your retirement and work remotely to take care of that project?
Yay.
Let me take a moment to think about that. Abso-freaking-lutely.
Smart.
Just a thought.
Yep.
I just didn't know if that was something that would be viable with the board, so I'd never even considered it.
Well, Alyssa, this is Jim. I'm in the same thinking that Gary is, and I've been thinking this all along. Postpone the retirement and until we get through this, at least the 9 tank or whatever else we need to, and right. Or just continue. You'd be working remotely just as you are now.
We're sort of getting better at working remotely. I mean, we still got a ways to go, but just a thought.
Thank you, Gary.
I think that's an interesting idea, but I think there is also value to having the water resource specialist in the office, to provide any kind of backup support that's needed by the rest of the team, the rest of the staff. Just one of my concerns. And my other concern is this is basic. I mean, my concern is like when I looked at this, I said, this is just the contract is basically the job description for the water resource specialist. And that I don't think this would fly with the IRS in terms of who can be considered an employee versus who can be considered a contractor. We're seeing a lot of issues around this nowadays.
Yeah, I think. Director Graham, you raise a very good point, which is part of what we would have to take a look at. There may well be, I would strongly urge the board to continue on the process of bringing in a permanent on-site replacement as a water resource specialist. And I think there is a way that you could delay the retirement of your current and have them working remotely for a period of time, providing transition for that. And then that could actually be a way to help define what the future task list would be for a consulting contract that could then happen, months past where the current cutoff date is. So those are things that you should look at. I would encourage the board, though, to not pull a stop on the recruitment of the water resource specialist, because I do think you really do need somebody here in the office that's able to be part of the administrative team.
I think the board would be in total agreement with you, Paul.
Yes.
That we want to, I would guess, we'll take a poll here, but I think that we need to go forward with a resource specialist that we have on hand, but I think it'd be certainly well worthwhile to have someone we can lean on these projects to go back through, and a transitionary period as well. So there's a whole lot of value to staying in touch with Alyssa and using her services if we're able. I'm sure the board is going to instruct you to go forward and find out the particulars to make sure that we're not stepping on any toes or doing anything wrong. But that's only my opinion. We can listen to the other board members.
Well, I agree with Carolyn and Paul that it would be best to have a resource specialist on site working directly with the staff, and that's we should continue looking for to fill that position. I'm just thinking about an interim situation to take care of some immediate needs.
Very good. Well,
I think that sounds. I think that the idea of continuing the recruitment and then if Alyssa is willing to delay her retirement to assist with the transition, and I'm probably just reiterating something that was already said. But after X period of time, that it's legally, you're able to do so without any repercussions, then you could transition to a consultancy.
I think, Carolyn, you nailed it. I think exactly the same way you do. In agreement with that.
Yeah, actually, Carolyn, you said it better than either Director Lieberman and I did. That's what we'll do, and And by the way, these meetings are recorded, so I now have a recording of Alyssa saying that she's willing to later. Because I actually had on my list to beg her to think about that, but that's good. Now we have, so I think we can figure out a way to make this work for everybody, and I appreciate the direction of the board.
So, if just from a timing and a planning perspective, to reiterate, my vacation starts at the end of the business day on June 12th, which means that May 18th will be my last board meeting before vacation slash whatever help happens next. So, you know, in terms of making a plan, I just, you know, it's a short window.
Yeah, well, I think, Alyssa, maybe we can, maybe you should think about putting a little, like, one-page memo on sort of how to make this thing work. The way my first initial vision would be that, you know, you obviously take your vacation, but instead of your actual separation and retirement day being that July, whatever it was, July 16th or 18th, that we basically agree to a memo in which that gets pushed out until whatever date we pick. We can pick big September just to be safe, and that we would then have a task list for you to do while you're remote, and then we can figure out how, then that would be your new, you know, whatever date we pick out there, that would be your new retirement date, and then we would have a very refined task list for your consulting contract. And we still need to figure out what the timing would be for when that would be effective, but that's a way to do it. I don't know if you have a different thought, but we can talk offline on that.
Okay.
Terrific.
Board members, do you have any other comment? If not, there's really no reportable action. We've instructed staff to look into it further. I think that's all we needed to say on that subject. We'll move on to item 8 is public comment. I don't see any public logged on. Penny, do we have any questions that have come forward from the public?
No, we do not.
We do not, okay. We'll move on to item 9, board member comment. Board? Carolyn? Jim?
No.
I think I've already missed my comments.
I'm just glad I could actually hear the audio, so I'm tickled pink. Can't see anything on the screen, but other than that, we're fine. It is progress.
Okay, so do we have a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Second.
It's been moved by Director Freeman and second by Director Graham to adjourn. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We may have to have a roll call vote, I guess, do we?
Yeah,
let's have a roll call vote.
Director Graham?
Yes.
Director Grives?
Yes.
Director Freeman?
Yes.
Director Lieberman?
Yes. So we are adjourned at, what time is it? It is 12:02, and I thank you all very much, and have a great day. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, all.